ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति.
We'll chant chapter 4, verses 12 to 16.
Kaṃkṣanta karmaṇām siddhim, Kaṃkṣanta karmaṇām siddhim, Yajantaiha devatāha, Yajantaiha devatāha, Kṣipraṁ himānuṣe loke, Kṣipraṁ himānuṣe loke, Siddhirbhavati karmaja, Siddhirbhavati karmaja, Kaṃkṣanta karmaṇām siddhim, Yajantaiha devatāha, Kṣipraṁ himānuṣe loke, Siddhirbhavati karmaja. चातुर्वर्ण्यं मया सृष्टम् चातुर्वर्ण्यं मया सृष्टम् गुणकर्मविभागशः तस्य कर्तारमपि माम् विद्यकर्तारमव्ययम् चातुर्वर्ण्यं मया सृष्टम् गुणकर्मविभागशः तस्य कर्तारमपि माम् विद्यकर्तारमव्ययम् नमां कर्माणि लिप्पन्ति नमे कर्म फलेष्पृहा इति मां योगी जानाति कर्मभिर्न च पद्यते नमां कर्माणि लिप्पन्ति नमे कर्म फलेष्पृहा इति मां योगी जानाति कर्मभिर्न च पद्यते एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतं कर्म पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात्त्वम् पूर्वैपूर्वतरं कृतम् एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतं कर्म पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः गुरुकर्मैव तस्मात्त्वम् पूर्वैपूर्वतरं कृतम् किं कर्म किमकर्मेति कवयोऽप्यत्र मोहिताः तत्ते कर्म प्रवक्ष्यामि यज्ञात्वा मोक्ष्यसे शुभात् किं कर्म किमकर्मेति कवयोऽप्यत्र मोहिताः तत्ते कर्म प्रवक्ष्यामि यज्ञात्वा मोक्ष्यसे शुभात्.
They who long for success in action here sacrifice to the gods. For quickly indeed success is born for action in the human world. Verse number 12 he says, there are people who sacrifice their efforts to gods to attain success, and for them quickly success comes, he says. We explain that by saying, what you sow, you reap. This is what he is talking about in verse number 11 and 12. As your thoughts are, so your world will be. Many of us have misunderstood this kind of statements, this kind of these verses, basically thinking that if I wish and pray, then immediately I will get the result. But what we need to really understand is the proof of your wish is your action. Remember this. If you really wish something, you would be ready to do or do away with something for that. That's the proof that you really want it. If I say I want it, and I'm just daydreaming and sitting down, not ready to do anything for it, not ready to sacrifice anything for it, then that much I really do not want it. If somebody pushes your head into water surface, you are suffocated. You want to live, and you are wanting to live, you will do anything to live. Nobody needs to tell you what you should do that time, right? You will struggle so much to just keep your head out of the water surface and to be able to be, to be able to breathe. So, the proof of you wanting anything is your doing. Remember this. But the problem is, when you do, if there is a doership attitude that comes in the way of attaining success. So this is what we said last week. Less effort, you will not get the result. Much effort, you will not get the result. Effortless, you will get the result. This is what we explained. In the sense, you have to put in effort. But if you put in the effort with, I am the doer, I will do it everything, then that I am the doer ego attitude itself will become a hindrance in achieving it. So putting in the effort, sacrificing the ego, and you sacrifice to God's ethics. It could be looked at two ways, like we discussed. God's could be taken as limited goals, right? Other way of looking at this, so in other words, you will sacrifice for a goal and then work towards it. You achieve the success by not looking at your personal likes and dislikes, but you work for a higher cause. Thus success becomes a driver. Another thing what I told you last week was, there are unseen positively charged beings, unseen negatively charged beings, meaning thoughts. See, we discussed this before. When any person gives up the body, the subtle energies or the subtle body of the person is the one which takes up the new body. The gross body is given up. Atma is all pervading, it is everywhere. Gross body is very much there. You see, when the person has died, the dead body is there. So what is moved? What is moved is the subtle body. This subtle body is in the form of thoughts and vasanas. Now these things, till they are reborn, if they are positively charged, you call them devas. If they are negatively charged, you call them asuras, etc. So therefore, even though you, through your senses, are limited only to perceive those who are expressing themselves in the gross body, there are subtle energies existing in this universe. Number one. So when you are vibrating with positive energy, all those latent positive energies which are not seen but existing in the universe comes in aid of you. So you are not alone. Similarly, when you vibrate with negative thought, negative energy, then also you are not alone. Then all those subtle energies which are negatively charged, which are latent in the totality, they come and lend you that strength to do the negative thing. So that is why sometimes you feel that when you are working for a higher cause, some good cause, but you are such a, you are just one person, right? Not much strength as an individual, but you are able to sail through the difficulties and really become successful in achieving that cause. We get the example of Mother Teresa. Very frail form she had, but she was so firm about the cause for which she was working. From where does strength come? So when you are positively charged, all those unseen positive charged energies give you a boost. Similarly, negative also. Sometimes, you know, you do something negative. You destroyed some, how something you done in a pit of anger. And you wonder how I did that. From where I got so much energy to do that. You don't understand that you are not alone. In positive or in negative. So that's what he's saying. He's putting in the positive angle here in this verse. But negative also he needs to understand. So for those who sacrifice their efforts to God's, meaning positively charged, they are working towards the goal, The fact that they understand that they are not alone, they are not egoistic, God's coming there, and the effort becomes effortless. This is what verse number 12 is saying. Let's move on to 13.
Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam, Gunakarma vibhagashah, Gunakarma vibhagashah, Tasya kattaram abhimam, Vidyakattaram avyayam, Vidyakattaram avyayam, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam, Gunakarma vibhagashah, Tasya kattaram abhimam, Vidyakattaram avyayam.
The fourfold caste was created by me according to the differentiation of guna, quality and action. Though I am its author, know me to be the non-dual and the immutable. Many times we have mentioned this before, that whenever person Lord Krishna speaks, he is not speaking very often as Mr. Krishna, but he is speaking as the Atman, the Self, Brahman, the totality, whatever words you want to use. So he is speaking from a different dimension altogether. So he is saying, I am the author of the fourfold caste system. This has led to a lot of confusion and misunderstanding. Because as it is, caste system is not a good word to use in present context. Right? So, and all the more when Krishna is saying here, I created the caste system, then people really misunderstand it and take it to different levels. Basically what he is saying is, Self, he is talking as Self, as I said. Self is the author of the fourfold caste system.
He is responsible for everything.
I'll explain to you. The fourfold caste was created by the Self according to the guna and karma. Guna, karma, vibhagashah. The guna means the qualities, the sattva, rajas, tamas, mental temperaments. And as per the guna, the action. Now this, every mind is made up of these three temperaments, sattva, rajas and tamas. The permutation combination of sattva, rajas, tamas brings about the variety of castes, the four castes. To understand this verse, and then when he completes this verse, he says, though I am its author, first he said, I created, then now he is saying, though I am its author, know me to be the non-doer and immutable. Even though I am the author, I am non-doer. To understand this, you need to use the example. This light, sunlight, passing through prism produces vibhajak colors.
Spectrum.
Light is colorless. Passing through the prism produces the vibhajak color. In that sense, now light could say, I am the author of the vibhajak colors, but I am the non-doer, because light has no intention of producing the vibhajak colors. Is that clear? Light is there, prism is there. In the meeting of the both, vibhajak colors have come. So in that sense, I am the author. Without me, vibhajak colors could not have come. But I am not the doer of the vibhajak. I have no intention of creating vibhajak. You can't hold me responsible for it. So Atma reflected in various minds has produced the caste system. Caste system in the sense variety show. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Brahmana is when your sattva is predominant. Rajas is there, tamas is there, but sattva is predominant. Kshatriya, rajas is predominant. He also has sattva and tamas. Vaishya, Rajas is predominant, but tamas is also high. Sattva is also there in him, but rajas is high, tamas is also high. Then shudra and tamas is high compared to the other. But what we need to understand is when initially in the ancient times when caste system was brought about, the caste system, the castes were kept on a horizontal platter, not in a vertical ladder. The moment you keep it in a vertical ladder, the differentiation, all those things starts. When they did this, they never said Brahmana is superior, Vaishya is lower, nothing of that sort. This is the nature. Such a person with that nature is more prone towards thinking. Such a person with this nature is more prone towards business, etc. His actions, because his mind is thinking in that direction, he will be more useful for himself as well as to others if he takes up to that job. So if he trains himself into those areas, that was the idea. Some people down the line had probably some different motives, or ignorance misunderstood it and created a lot of confusion. So in the present context, it is kept in a ladder, as if this person is superior, that person is lower, nothing of the sort. In fact, today the country is suffering not because of the caste system. Today the country is suffering because of the caste system being put in a ladder, put on a ladder. Every country has an inbuilt variety. Thinking type are there, business minded people are there, service minded people are there, warrior type people are there, who would be suited best to be in defense. You understand? By being in defense, they are also in happiness, their enthusiasm is maintained, they are cheerful, they look forward to Monday morning, because that is their swadharma, that is their nature. Right? If you put a person who is a business type in an environment where everybody is discussing about defense, etc., etc., he will be in frustration. Similarly, the other way around. So for him also, he will be the happiest person when he is in that field. And out of happiness, he will be functioning there, which will be a great contribution for the society. So thus, each one supplements and complements the other. That is how this whole thing was conceived. The caste system, as it is being put forth in today's context, in my personal opinion, it should be abolished. This is madness.
It's become hereditary.
Yeah. It is madness. In other words, just because somebody is born in a Brahmin family, doesn't mean he automatically becomes a Brahmin in today's context. His mind is thinking about business. Right? Now, he may be born to a Brahmin father, but if he is a person who is thinking about business, then he is a Vaishya. How come the children born to him suddenly will become Brahmin without going into their gunas? Here also he clearly says, according to the differentiation of gunas. These are Krishna's words.
So men, I can understand nature versus business, but those days women, all of them did household work. They must also be having different nature of mind.
They were made to do household work. That doesn't mean the nature is that. Nowadays, you tell them, they say you do. You understand? So in other words, they were forced, probably. Even now, in many houses, probably they are not really given the freedom that they should be given. In fact, many areas you see, like there was such a big queue and cry that women should not be in defense and all that. Now they are everything. Now probably there will come a time when men will have to fight for their rights, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is, once you give them the opportunity, you see them excelling. It's not as though a lot of women nowadays they do business and they do very well. It is not as though they did not have such traits. It's common for men and women. It's not as though only for men and women. It's not the case. It's not what you do, it's what you are. Your gunas.
But Guruji, even in that time, like what you're saying, if the environment influences you and agree, like Kshatriya, if you're born in the family.
The environment doesn't influence you.
But the supposing Brahmins, but in those times it was hereditary. It was like the Kshatriyas, kings had.
Imagine, if a man is vibrating with Brahmana energy and the woman he married also is vibrating with Brahmana energy, the possibility of conceiving a child who is also vibrating with Brahmana energy to find a conducive womb, they would be having. But that is not the case nowadays. The fellow is just born in a so-called Brahmin family. I know myself so many people. Right? In fact, you go back to any society, South India, North India, anywhere. From childhood days, are they really interested in teaching the children into the Brahminical work? Nobody. Very few. In fact, I am not saying this. Swami Chandrasekharendra Acharya, who is called as Periyavar in Tamil Nadu, who has attained Mahasamadhi now, who was the Pitadipati of Kanchipuram Math, he himself is a Brahmana and a sannyasi. He himself says in his book called Devatirukkural, this is translated in English as Words of God. You go and read that. He says the downfall of Brahmins, the reason for that is Brahmins themselves. Meaning they do not want to send their children to the Veda Vada Shala. They want to send their children to do this, that, so that they can make more money, do business, this. So where is their thought? What are we talking about? So, those days, if at all they said hereditary, because of these reasons. Because it is gunas.
The gunas would come automatically.
Absolutely.
But the misuse is in the lower, the Vaishyas and the Shudras, the misuse is tremendous. Then they are, because it's become hereditary without having to do so, like Krishna doesn't need to be hereditary, so the gunas does become hereditary. So the lower ones of the Vaishyas and Shudras are considered low, as a result of which their progeny and their, the future generations of those Vaishyas and Shudras are looked down upon.
They suffer.
Yes.
So they suffer the most because of the
gunas. Of course, there are two things I want to say here. One is, this definitely is an atrocity done by whosoever. And I know so many people who are born in a Brahmin family who are so different in their thinking, who few of my friends I know, they are not in this kind of thinking like you are saying. They have nothing against Shudras or so called Shudras and Vaishyas. They are very open, they are very forward thinking. Similarly, I can also see, like you, the Brahmana and Kshatriya class, even in Vaishya class, putting down the others, all that sort of thinking mentality, people are also there. So, what I want to say was, the fact that they were very aggressive and oppressing the lower people like that, they were trying to say, you are all lower, and they were higher, they were developing superiority complex. The problem was the so-called lower people also over a period of time accepted. So the moment you start believing that yes, I'm lower, let the other fellow think I'm lower. But if I think I have the same equal rights and power and energy as you do, then you thinking about me as lower is not going to have any impact on me. But the problem is, we have also, over a period of time, accepted it.
The societies are conditioned to that kind of thing.
Exactly. So now that has to change. In fact, in the Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji clearly says, caste system as it exists today should be abolished.
Absolutely. Krishnaji, consider it important enough to mention this here. At that time also it was, caste system was an issue.
Who? Yeah, of course.
No, when
Bhagavad,
this was
That's why I'm saying Mahabharata time. You read Transcendental was differently there.
And it was an issue. It was also
you will see certain instances, yes.
Because he, for him to have mentioned Pakistan here seems.
Basically, here he is just saying this. Like light, that's why I get an example. That example I think conveys the point. Light passing through the prism brings about the variety. That is a given. You see seven colors. In that, because the violet is more superior than indigo. That is nonsense created by us.
Money.
The political brain. You understand? That also I would, probably you don't know what it is. Colored political mind.
Yeah.
But all. You understand? So, this is not what Krishna is saying. I am the reason. Then a lot of people blame. Oh, if God himself is created, like, what kind of God is he? Whenever you conceive a concept called God, you conceive something which treats everything equal, which is neutral to everything. That is what you give a name of God. But if God himself created a differentiation, then that is not the concept of God that you have conceived, right? There is a contradiction. So he is not saying I am created. He is just saying Atma, when expressed through the mind, depending on the mind, sattva, tamas, the variety is there. But in this, he is not saying this is superior, this is inferior, nothing of itself. It is just there. In your body also, brain is there which is doing the thinking function. Kidney is doing the filtering function. Now, kidney is superior, brain is superior.
Both.
If you say brain is superior, okay, throw away your kidney, let's see what happens to you. There is no such thing as this is superior, that is superior. Everything does its bit, supplements and complements each other. But the problem was when in the mind such a differentiation was brought about, either by ignorance or by wrong intelligence, whatever it might be. As it is today, you see, this has become a cancerous issue in the minds. From childhood, this idea has been put in. So the person who suffers with superiority complex and inferiority complex, what kind of contribution can he make for the society? You understand? So that is why our society is like this. Not because we lack the capabilities. And this has been going on for I don't know how many years. Centuries, sir. This oppression. So that is why you find a lot of revolution, this and that happening nowadays. They say even today, if you go deep inside into some of the villages, even today they say such a thing is existing. Probably these things, at least outwardly, is not existing in the cities. Right? I don't know that the minds might be there in a few people, but at least outwardly it is not existing. Just because somebody is having inclination towards service and he is in service industry, and there is an employer who is employed him who is having the business inclination, doesn't mean the employer is more superior to employee. And the employee is inferior to employer. See, in the customer service cycle, what we need to understand, first of all, your perception has to change. Employer, employee, customer. It's a cycle, right? Now, if this fellow is the employee, the other is the employee who provides the service, customer is the one who gets the service, employer has invested the money, the infrastructure, the employee does the work, customer buys the product and gives the money. This is the cycle. If you look at it carefully, what we need to understand is, really who is an employer?
Customer.
Customer. Because if the customer is not buying, there can be no job. The employer is the customer. Right? The employee is the service provider. Then who is employer? Investor or a facilitator. You understand? So when the understanding comes like this, each one will supplement and complement each other. Here there is no superiority, inferiority. Exactly the same thing, just because somebody is inclined in that area, it doesn't mean he becomes inferior. So if you see in our body also there is caste system. Right? So, the very existence cannot be denied. Even in America also, there are people who are inclined in thinking areas. There are people who are openly there, Baba, I can't get into this thinking and all, you please do it. Just tell me what I should do, I'll do it. They're happy to meet you. Right? So there are, this variety exists in any society. How best this variety could be made use in the best interest of the society was their thought those days. Therefore they said, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this. And then if the person who is vibrating with that energy also marries another person who is vibrating with the same energy, then they could produce people also in that area. In that sense they created that. But later on they made it as if it is by birth. Then if it is by birth, if it is taken for granted, and then the fellow is vibrating with guna, different gunas and doing karma differently. For example, somebody may be born in a so-called Brahmin family. And his thinking is business thinking. And probably ended up working for difference. Karma is different, guna is different, born in a different family. So much confusion. In a confused state, if each one is functioning, then what kind of atmosphere will prevail in the outside area, environment? That will also be confusion. So, Chatur Varnyam Maya Krishtam Guna Karma Vibhavishaha. This fourfold caste system, I am the creator. And how the differentiation comes? With gunas and karma. According to the differentiation of guna and action. Though I am in software, tasya kartaram abhimam vidya kartaram abhyayam. Akarta, I am akarta, I am not the doer. In this portion now, he is going to keep on emphasizing this. Karta, akarta. Arjuna argued in the first chapter. One of the points he argued was caste system also. Right? So Krishna is giving reply. Remember this, Krishna is not bringing about caste system out of context. Since Arjuna in the beginning brought to defend himself the caste system, Krishna is bringing the same caste system to argue against Arjuna. Arjuna used it for what? Not doing. Krishna is arguing against not doing. So what he is saying is, Arjuna, you are a kshatriya by guna and karma. It's a fact. What was he doing in the 12 years when he was in the forest?
Practicing.
Practicing. What was he practicing? God?
No,
he was practicing archery. That is his nature. Each and every pore of Arjuna vibrates with that energy. That is what he is. He is an out and out clear cut kshatriya. He has plenty of time in 12 years. He could have sat down and studied Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad, whatever he wanted. Nothing in it. He was all the time practicing, so that means that's what he is. Kshatriya.
Karna also.
Karna, everybody.
Karna, in spite of having been brought up differently, but yet he is the
Karna. But what is Arjuna trying to do here? Not expressing his gunas, vasanas, which is kshatriya vasana, saying, I will not fight you. So Krishna is saying, in a way, you may not fight, but you will be still a doer. All that I am finding out, calling long distance call, what is happening in Kurukshetra today? Who is winning? Who is losing? Who is having the upper hand? Because your mind is there only. That is me, as a kshatriya. So he says, it is not the doing, it is the doership. For example, you may not do the action. Without doing the action, you will have the doership. I have not done this action for the last 25 days. The doership is silently existing while the doing has been stopped. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You are not doing any action. But 30 days I did not do anything. I did not do is also doership, right? So without doing, doership could be existing. Now Krishna is saying the opposite. Do, yet without doership. This is the real spirituality. What Arjuna is trying to do is easy. Like a lot of people don't talk, they are practicing Mahavira according to them. But they will be playing deaf and dumb. In front of them, if you must do something which they don't want you to do. Because they are in Mahavira. What kind of Mahavira is this? I don't know. Right? Then maybe another fellow talking, but is always in mourning. So, Lord Krishna here is telling Arjuna, you not doing anything doesn't make any difference to you, Arjuna, because your mind will be thinking about those things and will be functioning with the doership only, even though you are not doing anything. Rather, since you are saying, what is good for me? You ask, what is good for me? Arjuna asked, please remember this, don't forget. Krishna did not on his own give unsolicited advice. Krishna was asked by Arjuna, please tell me what is good for me. Yashreyasya nishchitam bruhitam me. Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. Verse number 7, chapter 2. I am thy disciple, please tell me what is good for me. So Lord Krishna is telling here, what is good for you, what is good for the whole world is you functioning according to your gunas in the well, for the welfare of the whole universe. Without yourself, what you are about to do, what you are saying that you will do is, you will sit down, not express your kshatriya vasanas. But we take the doership, it is bad for you. Like you suppress your anger inside, it's bad for you. You suppress your nature and retain the doership, double poisoning yourself. Suppressing your nature is one kind of poison. Another poison is maintaining the doership. Instead of that, Krishna is saying, don't suppress your vasanas. You now got a fantastic opportunity to fight for a cause. Express your nature for a cause. That way your vasanas also get opportunity to express, and secondly you also do without doership. So he is emphasizing on that non-doer aspect here. In this whole verse, Chaturvarnam is not where the focus is. The focus is on Akarta. This verse, he said, I am the creator of the four gunas. Even though I am its author, I am a non-doer. So where is he trying to emphasize? He is trying to emphasize the strength, the effort is on that word Akarta. That is what he is trying to convey to us. Just like how the light passing through the prism produced the seven luxury colors, yet remaining non-doer. You could also fight without having any personal motive to kill anybody or not kill anybody. I have no interest to kill anybody. I have to do my job, I do it. Like a hangman. Judge has no personal motive to hang the fellow or let him free, set him free. Judge has no personal motive. But based on the data, the facts, truth, he passes the judgment if it is that the person should be hanged. He writes, hang him. The person should not be hanged. He is acquitted. Right? He has no personal motive. So whatever judgment he passed, he doesn't become a doer there. You mean? Even if he acquits, but he had a personal motive, then he becomes a doer. Even if he convicted somebody, but had no personal motive, he is not doer. That's what he's saying here. Action is done, but I am a non-doer. Go back to chapter 3, verse number 4. Verse 4, chapter 3. What is he saying?
Chapter 3, verse 4.
Not by abstaining from action does man gain actionlessness, nor by mere renunciation does he attain perfection. This mere renunciation, abstaining from action, is what Arjuna is trying to do, retaining the doership. You attain perfection by removing the doership, not by removing the doing.
Can you give an example of that with regard to? I don't know if I'm making the correct connection in my mind. Somebody is trying to give up smoking. Someone has given up smoking physically, but is thinking about it 24 hours. Is that the same as not giving up?
Yes, the potential of taking up cigarettes and that. Bills paid for each other, advertisement you will see somewhere, you will take up. You never know. You understand? What you are talking about is the vasana that is still there. The example that you are giving about smoking, the vasanas are still there. It's only physically stop smoking.
Yeah.
But since the vasanas are there, like he said in verse 58, chapter 2. Take verse number 58, chapter 2. He said, 59, chapter 2. The sense objects turn away from an abstinent man, but not the relish. Even his relish turns away on seeing the Supreme. This is what you are saying. He has only dropped the cigarette, but he has not dropped the thought of cigarette. Since he has a relish, any minute he may take it back. That is what you are saying. What I am saying is attitude of doership. I am the doer. See, I am not doing. When you separate yourself from the total and assume an individuality, that is ego. The ego is there even in non-doing or not doing rather. That is doership. I am not doing. I will not do. Supposing you took a step, stance. That I will not do. See, I am a doer. I am able to keep my words. And not doing. I. That I is what I am talking. So, in fact, for example, in some other context he talks about it. He uses a word called jnana tapas. Here only, verse number 10, chapter 4, he used this word called jnana tapas. There I explain to you. There are people who do tapas with the base as arrogance. Or ego. For example, the cameras are all there, fixed, and you are fasting. Fasting becomes little easy. Because people are watching, they are getting that kick, and you are fasting. I am not saying everybody who is fasting with the camera is fasting like this. Please don't quote me wrong. Especially two, three lawyers are sitting here. But if all lawyers do that, but I am not using my words carefully because I am not a lawyer or anything. I am just saying that it is relatively easy, but nobody is watching. Are you doing tapas? So when ego is prompting your tapas, the examples are there in the Puranas. Ravan, ego prompting me tapas. Then Hiranyakashipu, ego prompted tapas. Padmasura, ego prompted tapas. So many examples are there. So he is saying jnana tapas. So Lord Krishna's idea that he is trying to tell Arjuna or through Arjuna to us is this, that by not doing, don't even dream that you can attain perfection. It is not giving up of the possession, it is giving away the possessive attitude. Relatively easy to give up your position.
I can give an example. Like we have maids. We don't want to do. We are thinking not do it. Because whether they do also, we take the ownership. Whether the maid is doing, thousands, let's say guest is coming.
Best example is this, what she is giving. Without me, if I am not there, the most servant will work. They are all doing their work only because of me. I am doing nothing, but yet without me nobody will work. You have that feeling, a sense of indispensability. As if your children get up and go to school because of you only. 5 days if you are not there, in your house you feel that your children will never go to school, they will not eat properly. In fact, they do better when you are not there. On their own they get up, they eat in fact more. Aram said they do things. But you feel that it's me, my God, what is going to happen to my family if I was not there? Nobody understands how great I am. This is your understanding deep inside. You genuinely feel as if this universe will not run without you. Yet you are not running about doing anything. That's what the devotion is. Whereas you may be a person who is doing many things, absolutely no devotion whatsoever. A sense of indispensability is not there. So basically what Krishna is saying here is sense of responsibility minus sense of indispensability. Right? Keep contributing, keep acting, but give that sense of indispensability. He said, I am a conduit. I have no personal motive, nothing in this. Tamasha. Just that the self passing through the mind causes it. That way without me, cause would not be there. But you can't hold me responsible for it. Without the judge, the fellow would not have been hanged. But judge is not a doer. So this is what he said.
Is it the same as that if suppose there is a negative act, like suppose that any negative act, one person is doing a negative act and the second person is just watching saying, oh, I'm so good, I'm not doing this act.
Yeah.
That is the sense of, so you are as party to it as the person who is doing that negative act, because you are gloating about the fact and feeling good about the fact that you are not doing. So, is that a non-dual attitude?
Any sense of I is ego.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I don't know what you are mixing up here. One fellow is doing negative things. Other fellow is having negative thoughts.
No.
Just that he is not done. Are you talking about that?
No, other fellow thinking that, look at me, I'm far superior to that person.
As a statement of fact, if you know that fortunately God, I had this knowledge and therefore I'm not doing negative things. As a statement of fact, if you are aware, that is not amounting to ego. But if you, the way as you said, oh, this fellow is doing all the negative things, I'm not somebody who does all the negative things, I'm a good fellow.
Yeah,
that fellow also has ego.
That's what
we are not saying he doesn't have ego. But somebody may be aware, you are aware.
Yeah.
I'm not doing any negative things, I'm aware. And thanks to whatever you are thankful to, education, that person, this person, whatever it is. Just having the awareness of the fact doesn't make you egoistic.
Then you don't judge the other person.
Yeah. So the path to truth is dissolution of ego, not stopping of action. Even if you are not doing, somebody else will do it. As if you are behind the earth revolving around the sun, as if you are behind the so many other actions that is going on, simply do. No prefix, no suffix. Like the Nike slogan says, just do it. No prefix, no suffix. You will have the prefix and suffix, but in between, you will not do. What he is saying is, let in between doing continue, let there be no prefix and that is illegal. So Krishna is saying, you Arjuna, don't imagine that you are doing something great. In fact, what you are doing is stupidity. Even though you are not doing, you are still going to be more agitated. Because the agitation comes not by action. Please remember this. A lot of us believe that stress comes from work. Stress cannot come from work. Stress comes from wrong attitude to work. If it is labor, you will be stressed. If it is love, there won't be any stress. If your action is backed by labor, you will for sure be stressed. The problem is, whenever we do any action and we are stressed, we take only one aspect into consideration. What about the other? What you say, I work, I got stress. So work is relieving me stress. But the other factor, I, is also there, no? You're not analyzing, you're not taking that into account. Try to change the attitude and see. Same work, doesn't give you stress.
It's pleasure.
You remember the story which I gave before, long time ago. King who was extremely stressed out doing his work. He was a good guy, administering the kingdom very well. He was thinking in terms of what is good for his countrymen and all. He was doing his job very well, but he was extremely stressed. So somebody told him, go to a Mahatma. He will teach you meditation and all that, which will help you to become peaceful. He went to him. He said, okay, I will teach you the meditation techniques. It will take few days to master it. You have to be with me. Till then, who is going to rule the kingdom? So he says, yeah, that's a point. You know what to do? You have to appoint somebody. So he said, let me appoint somebody who knows how to be peaceful. And according to me, it is you who knows how to be peaceful. So I appoint you as a king. Now he's become the king. Who? The sage. Now he says, okay, teach me meditation. He says, now that you made me king, I have to think how to rule this kingdom. I don't have any experience. So now I have to appoint somebody to rule on my behalf to rule. Then I can teach you all the meditation. The best candidate I can think of in this kingdom is you. Because you only have the experience of being a king. So he said, now you be my representative and go the rule. Go rule the kingdom. Go rule the kingdom. I am the king. I am appointing you as CEO to go and rule. And he has to follow the order of the king. So he goes back, does the same thing what he was doing before. Earlier, he had the king. I am the king. I am the doer. I am the owner. I can do. Therefore, he was stressed. He is doing the same work. I am doing as an ambassador. I am doing as a representative. Trustee. Same work, no stress. Peace was not there in his life because of the wrong attitude. Now the peace suddenly is there in his life because of the right attitude. So that is what I said, that is what Vedanta says. If labor attitude is there behind your work, you will be stressed. If love is behind the action, there is no way you can be stressed. All of us are so deeply convinced that this work is what is causing me stress. So what do? I take off, leave, vacation from work, then go away from work to some faraway country, station, spa, whatever you want to do, you go. Then again you come back to work. Coming back to work is the same fellow with the same attitude. Therefore he finds stress again. The more and more he does this, he is more and more convinced as if the stress is coming from
work.
Like some people, God, I can't live in this country anymore. This is a horrible place for who? All sorts of things they say. And run away to Canada, USA, New Zealand, Australia, so many places. There also, after some time, they start getting stressed. Why? Because you put the same mind. I will get this free, that free. If your attitude is that, because if I go to that country, supposing it is, I am not saying everybody goes is having that attitude. But if your attitude is that, when you migrate, because I will get this free, I will get that free, then going there with that sort of attitude, you will still be stressed. You go with an attitude of giving wherever you go. You find out, even in the most testing environments, you will be very blissful. So Arjuna, you will be carrying the vasanas, you will be carrying the attitude, I will not do, that's what he said, I will not fight. Arjuna threw away his candle and sat down and said, I will not do. As if the war will stop. As if Bhishma and Drona and all these people will live eternally, if Arjuna will not fight. We also have that attitude, isn't it? As if I will not do, whole world will come to a standstill. Nothing else. So many people have come and gone. Country is still continuing. Like the book says, men may come, men may go, I go on forever. World is not running because of you, it is running in spite of you. It's not running because of you. It was running before you were born. It will run after you are gone. So when you are there in the intermittent period in the world, think how I can make this world a better place to live. Even there, I said, how better I can make, I'm not emphasizing on the I. What is that is to be done? Allow that to happen through you. Surrendering to the totality. Take away the doership. So the emphasis in this verse, as I said, the focus is on non-doer. Next verse.
Namam karmani lippanti, namam karmani lippanti, name karma palespruha, name karma palespruha, iti mamyo vijanati, iti mamyo vijanati, karma bhirna sabhadyate, karma bhirna sabhadyate, namam karmani lippanti, name karma palespruha, iti mamyo vijanati, karma bhirna sabhadyate, actions do not change me, nor have I a desire for the fruit of action, the result. He who knows me thus is not bound by actions.
Wherever this me is there, you put, replace it with self. Actions do not bind, taint the self. Nor does the self have any desire for the fruit of action. He who knows the self to be thus is not bound by actions. That's what he's saying. The problem is, we are now deluded to believe that the self is the doer. Self is not the doer. The perception matters. How you perceive. You are suffering because of this wrong perception that you are the doer. If you have the right perception, immediately you see the stress is removed. Unless you remove the cause, how will the effect go away? You are tainted today, not because of the action, because of the belief that self is the doer. So if a doer has the attitude that he is the doer and does the action, immediately of what action, he
will be tainted.
Because it is the doership that is attained. If the doer is doing great work but has no doership attitude, he is not tainted. Because action cannot taint, it's the doership that taints. The dirt is the mala, is the attitude of doership. So he says actions doesn't taint the self. Vaipjyotik expression has no taint on the light. Does it have any taint on the light? But you see as if the light is now tainted by green color, yellow color, violet. Light is still without any taint. It appears to you as if it is tainted. That is why Jesus Christ said, hate the sin and not the sinner, because there is no sinner. From Vedanta, from Vedanta point of view, everybody is a Brahmana. Because essentially everybody is Brahman. If everyone is essentially Brahman, then how would you interpret this caste that he is talking about? Brahmana Brahman, Kshatriya Brahman, Vaishya Brahman, Sudra Brahman. So from that angle, Vedanta says everybody is a Brahmana. Since everybody is essentially a Brahmana. Essentially Brahmana. Right? So they, even though they are appearing to be a Vaishya, or a Sudra, or a Brahmana, or a Kshatriya, they are essentially Brahman, Atma, that is not tainted at all. Similarly, you find people committing crime. From the worldly point of view, they are sinners. But from the spiritual point of view, they are not sinners. Nobody is a sinner from the spiritual end. Nobody is a saint from spiritual life. You commit sin when you are deluded out of ignorance of the self. And you delude yourself to be this limited individual. And the moment you feel limitation, to fulfill that limitation, you commit a crime.
So you can destroy their body? People say, no, they commit a sin, kill them. Normally, they say, the body is not important. If it is the sin, it wears them. It's better to give them death sentence.
No, please understand. If you see, everything has a context whenever we discuss. Just like that, if I say something, for example, when we discuss verse number 7 and 8, I said this. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanataya sambhavami yugyate. That's what he said. So I said, vinashaya cha duskritam. What is Krishna saying there? Converting people who are negative and making them positive. You go to a doctor. What does the doctor try to do? First, try to save. Go to a dentist. You have a cavity. Doctor will try to save that tooth by doing the root canal. When that is not at all possible, only then he will talk about removing it. Because energy can neither be created nor be destroyed. It will come back. It needs to be transformed. The punishments, the so-called, I am against the word punishment itself, because it gives a wrong, at least it has been wrongly understood. Punishment means to convert the person. why the taxpayer's money is spent on somebody to be good. You have to be paying tax. You do some kind, go and sit and enjoy the taxpayer's money. You don't have to worry about anything, filing tax, returns, nothing. But why the taxpayer's money is spent on them? The idea is to convert them and induct them back into the society. Transformation is the primary goal. That is the human, that is what proves that you are human. Because you understand. Energy, by destroying the fellow, you've done nothing with the energy. But then, there is no possibility of converting. And only solution happens to be destruction, like the cancerous cell. Then the doctor says, okay, that also, you should be a doctor. You don't take part to your hands, and then you do. And then quote Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, and me. Sir, I'm attending this class, this is what is done for me. Unnecessarily. That is not what we are saying. So, transformation, conversion, yes.
So in certain cases, if you see the convicts, some of them I think would be easier to transform when they from within feel that they have committed in the fit of rage or whatever. But sometimes some convicts are not at all,
cool-blooded.
Yeah, I mean they are not at all of the fact that they've done a crime and they are regretting it. So in this case, it becomes a little difficult when it comes to transforming such.
That's what I'm saying. Saam, dhan, bed, try karo. Last is dand. Why you want to take dand straight away? No society will recommend taking up dand straight away. Right? There are very difficult people who have changed. It is, what is the big difficulty in you to change somebody who has already changed? You're realizing that I have made a mistake. So you are saying, in other words, if he has realized that he has made a mistake, there's a possibility of change. He is already changing. So, in other words, there is a process that you need to follow and see what best you can do to change the person, whether it's counseling, whether it is love, respect. That is why it is very important to see how the human rights are followed in the prison. Because if you don't approach them with love, he will come back as a bigger convict.
Juvenile rule, Arjun.
You understand? It is very important that people who are there day in and day out dealing with these guys should be really vibrating with love. See, any change is possible only when you have love, you give respect. You know, you treat them also as human beings without any prejudice. Believe me, you can change. It is said, I don't know how far this story is true, but somebody, I heard somebody speak about it. It is said, Mother Teresa, in the beginning when she had gone to Calcutta, somebody told that this is a great philanthropist, you know. So approach him, he will help you. So she went to him in a sense. So it said that he spit on her. Get away. And he spit on her. I believe she wiped it and said, okay, you've given me something, now give something for the cause. Yes. And it is said that person really changed and he became a great supporter of the cause. You first make sure that you have love. The problem is, we are all having so much negativity in us. How can we, with our negativity, with our frustrations, with our hatred, with our lust, with our greed, convert somebody who, it is just that he has done that, he has not done that. This is the situation. Ask yourself, many of us are living like hypocrites. You do not have the guts to do what he did, what she did, and so on. Right? He crushed somebody's head, you crushed your teeth that time. That's awesome. That's how you did. That's how you did. You put that frustration deep inside your subconscious. Really, a lot of people it is said Jesus was able to change, Buddha was able to change. How? Because he was vibrating with love. So therefore the first change has to happen within us. The problem is we are all moralists, we are not spiritual. Spirituality and morality is different, you know, need to be understood differently. You first take a stance as if how correct I am, how good I am, such ego, such lack of love. And you say, oh, he is not changed. Ask yourself, if you are Buddha, if you are Buddha, if you are Christ, that is what the question you should ask. But you yourself are having the same problem. Only thing, you are a coward. He is a different kind of a coward who exhibited his anger. You are another kind of a coward who could not exhibit the anger and has swallowed it. Therefore, one coward cannot change another coward. One coward will become scared of the other coward. Therefore, what will you do? Straight away kill the coward. And he is so beautiful in the words that he could embellish his crime with words. You understand? He used sword, you use word. So, beautifully you say, like Jesus says, you know, not that I loved Caesar any less, but I loved Rome more. So not that I really hate these people, but since he was such a criminal, I had to kill him. Who are you? Somebody sent me an SMS. Visit place of worship, any place of worship. You will find poor beggars outside and rich beggars inside. Visit any place of worship, you will find poor beggars outside, rich beggars
inside.
Begging, oh God, give me this. Oh God, give me that. So it's like that. Outside, we are also criminals to the extent we do not have love. To the extent you also have greed, jealousy, anger, lust, envy, fear. How can you bring about any transformation in anybody? When I say you, I mean any one of us. Really, transformation is possible only if you are transformed. That's what Vedanta says. A person who is transformed alone is capable of doing any service. All other service is bakwas. You understand? You have not changed yourself. You can do nothing to change anybody. Only to the extent you have changed can you bring about the change of yourself. That is why Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see. Be the change you
wish to see.
So the focus is be the change. We want everybody to change and we think, I am perfect. This problem is because I think I am perfect. And with that idea you come to Vedanta and Vedanta says, excuse me, change yourself. Then you change from Vedanta to something else. That is easier. Because you say, this Vedanta also something wrong with it. Simple thing. Such an innocuous thing Vedanta is not able to see. The innocuous thing is, I got it. So the problem is, understand this. Sam, Ram, Ram, Nam. That is why there is so much of debate going on whether this capital punishment should be abolished at all.
पूर्णमिदं पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।